There it is.
Man.
What's good? What's good, everybody? Our new, well, not, it's kind of like returning to the old day, but new day again. So welcome, everybody, Wednesday. Thank you guys for tuning in. Oh, man. Love everybody showing up. I'm excited to be here. My name is Adam, Beach Bum Exotics. You guys can find me on all the normal social media platforms under Beach Bum Exotics, Instagram, Facebook. I'm also on Morph Market, Beach Bum Exotics over there as well, where you could check out my animals and all that good stuff. I've got my awesome co-host with me, Shane, to you, sir.
Shane Kelly, Small Town Exotics. You can find me at smalltownexotics.com. That's where my animals are listed, and I'm on Instagram, YouTube, and all the normal socials as well. And I need to shout out for Jay Greenline. He's on Morph Market and Instagram. And that's our technical producer, does all of our technical wizardry. So one of these days I'll be able to say that word too, wizardry.
Take it easy, Shane. We don't need you hurting yourself in the first 30 seconds. You gotta pace yourself, brother. But shout out to the wizard man, Mr. J, Greenline Morph. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Before we get rolling here, little matter, like serious matter that we wanted to bring up. We wanted to give some condolences to Mosh Balls and their family right now. They lost their son over there, Michelle and family. Our hearts go out to you, prayers, thoughts, and everything. I know the community, when one of us is in pain, the whole community is in pain. So we are really sorry for your loss. So we just wanted to take care of that. The beginning of the show, give respect to one of our community members and their time of need and pain. So,
yeah, Michelle's always been a great support to anyone in the community and everything. So condolences, Michelle.
Yep, condolences. If you go check out their Instagram page, she put a post out. If you guys could leave a kind message, I'm sure that would go a long way to them. So,
right.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump back into to some reptiles and some other stuff. We just wanted to take care of that right away. So, Shane, I'll turn it back over to you. I know you had a little deal to take care of. So,
all right. This week we are shouting out Great Balls of Fryer. That is Moose and Jen. They're out of Nashville, Tennessee. Go check them out on Instagram. And I'm kind of shouting out Moose for two reasons. So he recently hatched out a super stripe redhead, which is something, you know, a little off the beaten path. And that's an animal he's been aiming for. So kudos to him on that. And he was recently on Morph Map. And the episode was all about redhead because that's his jam. So, he did a phenomenal job over there, performed well, presented himself well. So shout out to Moose, and everyone go give him a follow on Instagram. Great Balls of Fryer.
Yep. Great Balls of Fryer. That was a great episode, actually, where they Troy was on there a little bit as well. Conveniently enough, we had Troy on our show last week. So, you know. Total full circle, man. Just passing around. No, I'm joking. Yeah, he's got some really good redhead stuff, too. But, yeah, Moose, man, he was bringing out some fire on that episode. So you guys should go check it out. Awesome shout-out, man. I've been seeing his stuff pop through my feed lately, and I've just been like, yeah, he's kicking butt over there. So,
yeah, and Moose is one of those guys that, like, he knows the lineage to his animals, which isn't common in ball pythons, but, like, when it comes to, like, the redhead and a lot of the stuff, like, he'll tell you, like, oh, this is four generations from the founding animal or whatever it is. Like, he knows it, so.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool when they covered that side of how he got into the morph, why he picked it, and the whole thing, and a lot of it had to do with lineage. And, yeah, I respect that, because I tell you what, 95% of the animals that are not, like, I didn't produce, I don't know very much of them, much like less than, yeah, this is what the parents were.
right.
So that is kind of cool. Yep. Well, I love it, man. What else you got going this week? Anything exciting over there?
I actually made a little cheat actually made a little cheat sheet over here. So let's bring out one of the bigger topics of they're having the ball python competition at Southeast Reptile Expo.
Okay, yeah, I'm down. When I heard about that, awesome. Did you watch the videos? Do you want to give some details about it? I mean, I watched a few as well, but
I watched the videos, but I was in some behind the scenes conversations, so it's all melted together. So I don't want to misspeak, but I know we're having a ball python competition, and there's going to be different categories, and there's some judges, and you got to be a vendor to enter an animal and everything. I think, in my point of view, this will hopefully add some credence and like pedigree to our animals and just add some legitimacy to what we do.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know me, I come from the dog showing world. So once I heard confirmation and had some stuff along those lines, I'm like, okay, that's cool. I'm down for that. We do it over on the dog world. I think over here, it'll be, not only will it be like a fun thing for the shows. So my understanding is they'll, add a specific reptile show. And the first one they're doing, do you remember which one that is? I don't want to misspeak. You know what? Instead of us sounding like idiots, we should post the link to the video that RGI and Leviathan and all those guys are talking about it. Maybe in the description afterwards, we can update that. But my understanding, so reptile
Southeast show, Southeast Reptile, right? Yeah. Southeast Reptile Expo, and that's the one coming up in August. So that's when it's going to go down.
First one, and if you attend it as like somebody shopping for animals, kind of coming to hang out at the show, you'll get an opportunity to vote. Then they'll have a panel of judges, which are professional breeders, influencers and respected members of the community, I think is kind of how it was explained to me. And they'll also vote. And then at the end of it, there's going to be a clear winner of like best in show, best recessive, best incomplete dominant, some stuff like that. I thought it was really cool. Great idea. And then I heard Ben from RGI saying that, like, I think the winners, they're going to take a scale clipping and sequence that snake. So like possibly it'll be kind of like a little badge of honor that you could like slap on, that animal. Somebody could scan it and it would say, whatever the morphs are and all of that good stuff.
Yeah. And then from there on out, I add a zero to every animal from that lineage. Bam. Winner. This is the grand champion's grandson right here,
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, like over in the dog world, that's kind of how it works. You got your champions, grand champions, and it's kind of clout.
That's what I'm saying, man. I'm looking at Dobermans, and like the ones I'm looking at, they're like some kind of lineage from the Croatian champions and stuff. I'm like, yeah, that sounds really legit. I don't know if their dogs over there are good, but that sounds good,
That's right. I forgot you were looking for a Doberman. That's right.
No, but so like the voting will be, it'll be similar to the 15 minutes of lame, like three judges and then the crowd vote. So that'll be four sections that tally up, 25% per section and whatever. And I know one of the potential judges is also in the dog world or has experience in the dog world and stuff too. So, I mean, it'll be a good competition and a good way to just, build a community and,
Yeah, I like it. I think it's fun. I think it'll be fun for attendees. I think it's fun for vendors. If it brings us down the path of maybe lineage breeding and starting to get that concept into the hobby, I don't know, man. I think it could be a valuable thing for all of us. So at least it's fun. So
I got a little side road to go down on that. And it's kind of a thing I've been on ever since I went to Canada. And it's like, I don't mean no offense to anybody out there, but it seems like we Americans were breeding like mathematicians. And it's like, okay, this trending gene with these recessives and we're doing math problems. But like a competition like this brings it back to like, how good does the snake look? It doesn't matter if it has the trending gene or an older gene. Like, how does it actually look, man? Which one's the best looking?
Yeah. Isn't that why we do this? I mean, I know that's subjective, right? But at least there are some commonalities through the industry. And while we don't have anything like written for standards of individual morphs, I think this brings us even a step kind of closer to that. Like when any of us sees a really nice looking pastel versus like a kind of lower quality, higher browning out animal, you see right there, you could tell, okay, that pastel is higher quality than that one. Right.
Right.
And I think if we start judging openly like that, it'll, I think it's a good thing, right? Helps us establish some standards and have some fun. So,
yeah. Yeah. People will be a little bit more selective when they buy an animal. Like if that's the trend we start going in, people will be more selective and more conscientious when they're making their pairings too. Like, are these good examples on both sides? Are these genes going to mesh good together? Do I think, I mean, you always got to take chances and stuff like that, but
yeah,
are these ones known to work good together and stuff? Or am I making a dirty sock? You know, like what's going on here? You know?
Totally. Yeah. 100%, man. I love it. I think it's a great idea. Anything that helps us push that direction where it's not just breeding on paper, right? You know, right, where you got your roster of males, females, you just throw it around and you're like, yeah, my season's going to be awesome. No, let's take a step back, go visualize what you got, set it forward and breed for aesthetics and health. You know, and I'm even going to start, and we've talked about this in the last couple episodes, start breeding more for like temperament, right? Like if one of those animals is a really, really good eater, right? And far outshines the rest. And maybe though genetically it's lacking in one of the genes that I really want, I might have a harder decision now going, you know what? That animal is a really good eater. It has quite a few of the genes that I want. Maybe it does have a place in my breeding stock, right?
Right.
And try the breed for animals that have strong appetites, aren't as shy. Maybe you could even start refining it like that, you know, stuff like that. Might be interesting.
Yeah. And that's something I've already kind of been doing, 'cause I do all frozen thawed. So I tend to keep the ones that take like that are beast on frozen thawed, you know, I can get them all to take it, but there's some that just like take it every time. I'm like, oh, that one might be missing one gene, but that's my one right there. 'Cause it's going to keep making more for me.
Dude, totally. Rich, I'll throw this back up there. Rich was saying, just commenting along with what we were talking about, Orange Dream, the best single gene OD pieds look as good as super OD pied, but some OD pieds might as well be a normal. And it's exactly right. You know, it's all varying degrees of quality out there, but when your eye sees the better example, it's like an obvious, right? Like, so.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely. Well,
yeah, and I noticed that. Like, let's take it all the way back to our first guest, Mark Mandick. I noticed that when I was looking at his collection. I'm like, this guy has been keeping the best of the best for a couple decades, and now his whole collection is like the best of the best. You know, it's like it shows.
Right. Yeah, and I think you set yourself up long term like that, right? Like, you know, it should be an obvious kind of for us as breeders that we would keep back the best. But sometimes, I mean, money really talks, and, you know, feed bills are expensive and all of that. I definitely have some animals that I've sold in the past that I'm like, oh, that would have really helped my collection. But I got excited about kind of making that sale and
going for it.
So, you know how it is.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah. Do you have any cool locks over there? Yeah.
I mean, so I got a collaboration with the Harbins. I have a Hurricane Red Stripe Yellow Belly Triple Het Desert Ghost G Stripe Clown.
And Jesus, you female. Remember all that. All right, say it again. Yeah. I don't believe you know it.
Hurricane Red Stripe Yellow Belly Triple Het Desert Ghost G Stripe Clown to a Enhancer Double Het G Stripe Clown. And that's going back to like let's circle back to our other conversation. I have another male where it would add more recessives to that mix, but we chose to, like, let's go with Hurricane and Red Stripe and Yellow Belly, because that'll be a visually better pleasing animal, you know?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Instead, I could add Hypo potentially with another male, but I'm like, let's just go for the animal. We both agreed, you know, let's go with the animal that's going to be visually pleasing, you know?
Striking. Right, yeah. Totally. Great call, man. That's pretty exciting. I'm excited for you just to see where that one. Those triple.
I went and did just the recessive odds, and I'm like, just to hit a triple, like take out any of the incomplete dominance, I'm like, it's a 1 in 32. I'm like, oh god.
I know. Thanks, 319. Get them likes up for us, guys. Hey, what's up, BT Radicals?
Yo. Yeah, that's so. Yeah, you got anything cool locking up over there?
I did get one pretty cool lock. It's between Bongo Orange Dream Pastel Hat Puzzle to my Bamboo Spot Nose Puzzle. So that one I'm pretty excited about, because I know Bamboo gets hated on a lot. You know, it's, and I get it. It's not. It's kind of like it's a very a monotone like color scheme that you're going with, you know, the kind of earthy tone. So it doesn't have a whole lot of pop. It ends up washing out some stuff, but I think with the right gene combinations, you can really get some cool looking animals with Bamboo. And that's the hope with this pairing. Bongo is going to bring back some contrast, help with some lines in there. Like Bongo spot noses look really cool. So Bongo Bamboo spot noses look really good as well. And then, yeah, Bongo being just one of the cool genes right now, I thought it was a good pairing.
I get excited when I hear somebody like yourself making pairings like that with Bamboo and Bongo, some genes that were hot and then they've kind of been put on the back burner, you know, and I like hearing people still using them, you know. Keeper Kane, Keeper Kane's using Bongo too, so I get excited.
Right, man. I think Bongo is pretty cool. It had its spotlight for a little bit, right? And I think while I was away was when it was really shining a lot, and then now that I've come back, but hey, that's my style, you know. I don't follow the meta too hard, you know. Try and look outside. That's one of the reasons why I was working with Puzzle so long ago, was I kind of saw everybody gravitating towards clown. And don't get me wrong, I love a good clown, but I just decided I'm going to go Puzzle instead. So,
right.
Yeah. And then other than
I actually have a Bamboo pairing too, though. So I got a, let me think. She is a Red Stripe Bamboo Het Clown, and I'm pairing her to my Yellow Belly, the Calico line that I have, clown, just to see what those clowns do, you know? I'm still playing with that, with the Calico stuff I got, so.
Yeah, and that popped out of an animal randomly at your place? Is that kind of?
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
So I'm still making, like, just clowns with no other recessives with that project. I'm just playing around, you know. So
right. Oh, that's a good point, Rich. Cypress ate Bongo's lunch and everyone forgot about the Bongo. I love how you put that too.
Well, I contributed to that because, like, I love Cypress, man.
Cypress is a great gene. It is a great gene, right? But you just can't go for the homozygous of it, right? Now, correct me if I'm wrong or if I'm not remembering correctly. Bongo's super is fine, right? There is no
issue. And isn't Bongo in the same complex? Isn't it in the spider complex? Or do we call it the chocolate complex now? I don't know what we call it, but
yeah, I don't know. I sound like a noob right now. I gotta go research.
I don't know, man. It was like there was this point in time where, like, all of a sudden everyone found out there was so much stuff allelic, like, that's all in this short period. And I was like, oh man, I had a chart hanging on my wall for a little bit, but then I took it down and I'm just like, I don't know. I'll just worry about the genes I got here. How about that? Right.
And I guess a shout out to Clutch and I think Husbandry Pro also. They have in their little calculators the allelic morphs. So if you guys really want to learn and not hear two guys roughly talk about it, probably inaccurately, go check out Clutch.
Well, you know, one of these bongo guys in the crowd could enlighten us, but I thought it was, I might be misspeaking, but whatever.
So. Yeah, I thought the super was okay with the bongo, but I could be wrong. It might throw a wobble too. Yeah. But
anyhow. Yeah, but you know, all them ones. So like I've heard the Powerball is wobbly, and then I've heard from other people, no, it's not. And then I hatched one for the first time ever, and it was like super bad. So I'll never do spot nose again. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Your Powerball was really bad.
Yeah. 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 So.
Yeah. Cause I've heard the same as you, right? That the Powerball, the super spot nose, gonna have some problems with it. But I've seen quite a few hatch out, and they look to be normal on the videos that I've seen. And then some people talking about them. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just like spiders, though. Like some spiders were extra wonky and some weren't so wonky. So I think it's just kind of like that. I don't know. I'm not a geneticist, so.
Yeah, neither am I. That's for sure. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not really sure. I mean, you know, our ultimate goal, producing healthy animals, I see why people stay away from sometimes that complex entirely. The way, though, that I look at it is, I think it's a little bit more animal by animal basis. I've got some spiders in my collection. They're good. They've had babies. Babies have come out fine. But I do keep my spiders a little cooler, I think, and I do that on purpose, right? Just because I'm worried that they may have a neurological reaction. And I've heard heat is a driver or something that'll bring it out in them. So,
yeah, that's pretty smart.
Yeah. So I keep them just a little cooler, and I don't feed them large meals either, because I think the stress on the organs sometimes causes them to freak out as well. So,
right. Yeah. That's all good info. Good info.
Yeah. 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 All right. About halfway point. Should we maybe talk about next week coming up and all that good stuff, or you got some more stuff?
Let me add one thing. So okay. Adam and I, behind the scenes, this is for all of our steady viewers out there. We're pretty well lined out towards the end of August with all solid guests. Hey, so stick Randy. Around and Randy, what's up, Randy?
Yeah, Dark Cloud. Hey, everyone.
We've got, you know, a bunch of lists going, and we're planned out. I could just say that, you know, I don't want to spoil who we got going where, but we're lined up. We got a whole roster of people that bring value to the show and to the community. So,
yeah, we're into August now, which, I was very proud of us, or myself specifically, for planning that far ahead. Anything. Normally I'm like a week or two ahead at most. So,
well, and I start feeling like an idiot when like I'm talking to somebody about coming on. They're like, okay, when do you, and I'm like looking at the calendar, how does August? And I'm like, like we're NBC or the Howard Stern show or something. I don't know. I'm just like, how does August? We could fit you in August.
and I'm sorry, that's August of 26, not 25.
No, but it actually takes a little bit of like anxiety and stress off of us, you know, and that gives us plenty of buffer. If somebody has to change or something, they should know in advance, and we're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. It was always a goal of Joel and I's back in the day to get a little bit further planned out. Sometimes we'd be good, and most of the time we were kind of flying by the seat of our pants, you know, getting some stuff. So it feels nice having that piece. It's like, you know, cleaning house, right? Like having just that little piece done. It's like, okay, like you said, it alleviates some stress. So, and hats off to you, man. I appreciate all the help you've been given, you know, with that stuff. So definitely.
Well, thank you, bro. Right back at you.
Yeah, thanks, man. All right, now that we've hugged it out on air and that awkward moment's done, let's
hey, oh, I should be like this.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I'm wearing Surf Serpents, Russ. Yeah, everyone, go give him a follow on Instagram. dude's new, but like he built a solid collection, all high quality stuff. Built it right. And yeah, man, go give him a follow. Looks like that. Surf Serpents. So go give him a follow.
Yeah.
And Jessica's in here.
Yeah. Bam. Of course you're first, Jessica. Yeah. 100%. Thanks for stopping by. Oh, man.
All right. Y'all, I'll give it over to you to do the announcement. That's like definitely your jam.
Okay. All right. I'll take care of this one. Definitely. I'm excited for it. So next week, we've got an awesome guest, and the show's structure is going to be slightly different. Shane's going to be taking some much needed vacation, hangout time with his family. So he's leaving me alone on, you know, all by myself on the show. I'm not sure if this is a good idea, but no, I'm joking. But next week, we're going to have Jay Greenline Morphs on. We thought, since he's been helping out so much and we know a lot of stuff he's got going on behind the scenes, we really wanted to give him a spotlight on the show, have him come on, tell us about himself, you know, just kind of do the regular show thing, but also just highlight him for us, right? He's part of the team. So we wanted to have him on the show, do an interview, talk about really cool projects because he's working on some sick stuff out there, and let him introduce himself to you guys. So I'm stoked. Yeah.
And I like it too, because like, although I know what Jay looks like, not everyone does. Like, he's been on a few here and there, and Snakes and the Fat Man here and there, but he's definitely not like the Village Bicycle making rounds all the time. So it'll be good to give him his own spotlight and let him shine, because he's a solid guy, man. Does a lot Super for solid. A lot of people. Yeah,
he really does
a lot for a lot of people.
Yep, tons. And never complains. He just, you know, is always, man, he's a soldier in the trenches, as they say.
Yeah, he's covert, man. And like, here's a fun little story. So it's like 4 or 5 in the morning, I'm going to work and I need to post some promo stuff for Reptiles Unplugged. And like, I noticed that we're changing the time, but the thumbnail in the reel still had Thursdays at 9. So I messaged Jay. He's up too. He handles it all. I don't know. Like I said, it's 4 or 5 in the morning. Bam. And then I'm posting and I'm on my way to work. And he's Johnny on the spot, man. Fixed it.
Dude, meanwhile, I'm in California sleeping so nicely, just in my warm bed. I wake up, Shane's like, woo.
Yeah, that was like 1 a.m. your time when me and Jay are working, you know?
Exactly.
But it actually made me go back, because I scheduled this one out and I went back to look at the thumbnail and I was like, man, the thumbnail says Thursday at 9. And we're scheduled for Wednesday at 8. Like, we need to correct this problem. That's somebody's going to get confused.
We'll so get it.
I'll start proofreading better. All right. Yeah. That's my oath for the night.
Same here. I'll start paying attention a little bit closer too, because I'm just like, oh yeah, my eyes just kind of glaze over. It looks good. Go for it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It looks good. Yeah. Matches totally. The theme.
100%. Let's see, what was this Jay was saying? By the time Adam wakes up, I'm 3/4 of the way done with my day. That is not a lie. That is very, very true. I know. It is funny because, so my company that I work for is primarily an East Coast, you know, we communicate in East Coast times, everything like that. And so, yeah, by the time I'm waking up, quite a few of my coworkers over there about halfway through their day. It's always been a trip. Yeah, but appreciate y'all. It works good having kind of the separated time zones like that. We do get to cover each other. So
yeah, you know, and in my real life, I'm starting work even earlier now, like 4:30. So I'm taking my lunch break at like 8:30 my time, which is still 5:30 your time. So you're like,
I haven't even woken up and you're taking lunch. Oh, man. Hey, what's up, Graceful Pythons? Thanks for stopping by. All good.
Jamie went on a road trip and picked up over 40 animals and just got back. So,
oh, that's pretty cool. Right on. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah, yeah. She's making big moves. Power plays.
Power plays, man. Love it. Power plays.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, might Do you know what she picked up? Is it allowed to be discussed, like ball pythons, or is it multiple
species? Yeah, it's ball pythons. She got a collection from one of our mutual friends. Jamie actually lives about 20, 30 minutes from me. So,
okay, man.
Her husband taught me how to bonsai, so I made a little bonsai tree my first time. You know, he was Mr. Miyagi. I was Danielson, and got me a little pot. Yeah.
So. Dude, I love bonsai trees. I used to have a decent little collection of them, had some cool trees. We moved to Arizona and they didn't survive very well out in Arizona. So
they turned into beef jerky, tree jerky.
Exactly. Little mini walking sticks, basically, I had.
You know, that seems to be like a common crossover, like plants and bonsais, like with reptiles. It's like something in whatever our personality types or whatever. We I don't know, us people enjoy that kind of stuff.
I think so. Yeah. And it's not like they're not instant gratification. That's for sure. Right. Like whatever you do with them, it takes a while to see the fruits of the training and the clipping that you're doing.
Right.
You know, all of that. Have you had to repot yours yet? Like,
No. So this was only, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, but I'm already like, okay. it's like my little baby, because he's like, oh yeah. I told him I'm going to keep it on my kitchen sink. I got this thing right there.
Yeah.
And it's like this triangle thing. I'm like, it's going to look good there. But he's like, okay, we'll take it outside when it's windy and stuff. So I'm already like, oh, it's windy, it's raining. So I go set my tree outside for a couple hours. Then yeah, I bring it in before I go to bed and stuff. It's like my little kid or something, you know, like, oh, my tree needs some outside time.
What's its name, dude? Did you name it yet?
No? No, not yet, but I will come eventually. On.
Yeah, let's get it. Let's get to it. What type of tree is it? Is it a juniper?
It's a bougainvillea. So and then I got it.
Yeah.
And then we put some wires on it. So I got it like it's all shaped cool and stuff. So
awesome. Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
The bougainvilleas are cool. Yeah. They're pretty, right? They flower and they do all that. Their root system and tree trunk system is really gnarled and cool. So
yeah,
that's a fun one to do.
Nice, yeah. Man. Yeah. It's a good beginner thing for me. So I'll get into some expensive ones at some point, you know?
Yep. Golf's reptile creations. Evening, Casey. Good evening, sir.
Yeah.
Our man.
What's up, Casey? Oh, you know what? Happy birthday, Casey. Today is Casey's birthday.
Oh, is it? Yeah. All right. And we got to do the birthday song then. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
I'm like, I'm ready.
He's like, I love Shane is so ready for anything. He's like, oh, holy crap. Here we go.
All right, let's go.
Well, happy birthday, Casey. Sorry, neither one of us are singers, or we'd sing you a song. Yeah, happy birthday, Dark Cloud.
So I got a question for you, because you're a multi-species guy too. Do you are you breeding your super dwarfs or anything?
Yeah,
is there plans on that this year?
There are plans to breed them. I didn't make the decision to breed them until probably a little too late this year. I think I missed my one girl. And they take a little more effort. You do have to kind of kick them in gear instead of like the ball pythons. You know, you're just kind of watching them and okay, there's a little follicular development, plop in that male and then poosh, off they go kind of. Retics are a little bit different, so they do like a little cooling period, heavy food periods as well, and so you got to stack all of that right, the feeding, the temp, introduction with the male. So I have introduced my male, his name is Tommy Lee. I introduced Mr. Tommy Lee to Pamela Anderson. I swear to God, those are the two. So I'm making little Tommy and Pam babies. And the funny thing is they're lavender snows, both of them, right? One's a golden child, the other is a motley. So they're even all blonde. It'll be all blonde babies too. Like everybody's blonde. Oh, my wife calls me such an idiot sometimes, but it's fun. So when
you cool those, like how much of a cooling? Like how low are you going?
So I'm dropping like my ambient temperature at night here in my room gets to 76 degrees, right? I let it come down to 76. During when I'm cooling them, I'll chop that heat all the way down to like 74. So right. Their hot spot at night will get all the way down into the mid 70s ish, you know, whatever the room. Because if I set this at 76, then the room normally hovers at nighttime around like 73 or so. Right. So that's right in their range that I drop it to. And, you know, I think I'm doing it the right way. I have not had a successful clutch with Retex, right? I've done reading, talked to some people. So trying to emulate what I'm reading and hearing, and I hope to be successful this year. So,
yeah. Well, good luck on that. So a little bit of cooling and some food cycling. Off to the races. You got it.
And there's little Tommy. See him? He's saying hi in the corner.
You're dating yourself by naming your animals those people, you know?
Hey, man. Motley Crue is still cool, bro. I don't care what anybody says.
Pamela Anderson has definitely seen better days, though.
Hey, man, you don't have to look at the new stuff. You just go back, watch the 1990s Baywatch. And everything's okay. Oh, right on. Rich says he's got two Kalatoa females. And my Kalatoa, man, she was really cycling. Because I have a Madu Kalatoa cross as well. So that one's 100% super dwarf. And she, I thought I caught an ovulation out of her because she was really swollen, like big time. And I did pair Tommy to her as well. I haven't seen a visual lock. She's been slamming food and then went off food she denied food like last feeding, which is pretty rare for the retex. I never really have them deny a meal. So I did forget about that. So I could be getting some decently high percentage super dwarf double het. You know, because snow, so I have Annery and then their lavender snow. So the two forms of albino as well, white and purple.
Right on.
But good luck to you, Rich. Man, I hope your girls go for you. Definitely. Yeah. And for you, are you breeding your chameleons yet, the panthers, or are they just strictly pets for right now?
I'm on the fence about it. It's funny that you asked that because, like, she's starting to change to those breeding colors. And I'm like, God, do I really want to breed them? I don't know if I need a bunch of billion baby chameleons, you know, because I obviously I've never bred them. But, like, you know, they're like 20 to 30 eggs. They take like 7 to 9 months, but they can like double and triple clutch. And I'm like, man, that could be a lot of chameleons. Like, Do I want?
You could have like 150 chameleons at the end of your season.
Yeah, do I want that? I mean, I'm not set up for that. You know, I'm a snake guy. You know, so it's not like
What do you do for the little tiny babies? You just put them in like little mini screen homes, or is it like?
Well, so there's a line in the sand, and there's like people that will group raise them. And they kind of move like one of the chameleons is always going to be dominant. So you got to keep moving the dominant ones around. And then, you know, because
they'll eat all the food, right?
They'll eat all the food. They'll bully the other ones. And then there's a whole other school of thought where you individually raise them. But, you know, that's an expensive endeavor.
Oh, man.
Like to have all of these, like with the misting and the lighting and all. And I'm like, man, do I really want to get involved in that? Like, I mean, I'm leaning towards no.
Right.
Like the only room I'd have to put it would be in here. I guess it would make a good backdrop, a bunch of little baby chameleons back there, you know, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. I've never even looked into how to breed them or what the nursery process looks like and all of that. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah. Their equipment. It's far beyond what we do in snakes, like the requirements, you know, because the lights are expensive, the misting systems, the cages. I mean, you could streamline it and stuff. Like if you invested to have all that, like in my mind, being a snake breeder, I'm like, well, then I'm committed to breeding these chameleons for a few years to yeah. get to recover that cost back. Do I want to do that? I know I don't.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. And then the babies that you probably have to start, do they start on a special diet or they jump right into the, like the normal stuff?
Oh man. Well, yeah. Like flightless fruit flies and stuff when they're real small, and then they start graduating up into better stuff, you know? So,
yeah. So,
yeah, man. And insects, that's a whole nother ball game of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Breeding.
It takes a certain mental bandwidth, like, cause I'm already doing like my hog nose side, my ball python side. I can manage that. But then you start throwing in like the insect things and the chameleons. Like having two chameleons is pretty easy. I just feed them every day. Just feed them right now.
But hey, Harbins. Yeah.
Harbins. That's yes.
When it's one or two, right? Not a big deal. But when you've got like a whole colony of them showing up, I mean, you've got to have a process, right?
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And I just don't think I can't commit to something like that because I'm more invested in my passion lies with the snakes. My chameleons are my like little fun loving pets, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
totally.
Yeah.
Totally, man. I know I've always wanted to get like, I've got a Zoomed, like an empty Zoomed, brand new in the box. Like it's like a 36 by 24, I think, cage or whatever, the glass barn front, really nice one. And I've wanted to do like a bioactive and get a bunch of the electric blues in there. The Lycodactus Williams eye or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Is listen to me trying to sound smart. The electric blues are really awesome.
I know exactly what you're talking about because I seen them in person at the Anaheim Super Show, the first Anaheim Super Show, or the return of it, like the one right before COVID hit. And me and my ex-wife at the time, or my wife at the time, we were thinking about getting some. Those are very striking, beautiful animals, man.
And they're a daytime kind of species. So when you're up doing stuff, they are too. And at nighttime, they chill out. So the male.
Yeah, and there's something intriguing about like a planted terrarium, and whether it's a full bioactive or however you want to word it, I'm like, that's not my specialty. But you got other living organisms and plants in there, and your pets. You know, it's an intriguing little process there. You know.
Yeah, and Jessica brings this up. The males will fight, so you're limited to a pair, which I learned. But the reptile store that I used to go to way back in the day in the Valley, I don't even know if they're still around anymore, but they had a massive aquarium that was all set up bioactive with, I don't know, probably 20 of them in there. I mean, it was a huge, like, 500-gallon tank that they had converted into this really cool junglescape. They had a ton of them in there. Now thinking back on it, probably wasn't the most, you know, proper setup for those guys.
Right.
But it was cool looking. So anyhow, who knows? Down the road, maybe.
Yeah, but you know, like with little animals, if you have a big enough thing, they could all claim their own little domain, maybe, and that's how they kind of coexist for whatever time they're in the pet shop. I don't know.
I couldn't tell you. I mean, the guys told me they were breeding out of that tank. So, Mr. Chris, thank you, sir, for stopping by. All good.
Well, Chris is here. That's it. We're wrapping up now.
Thanks for showing up, everybody. Peace out. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I mean, I love the various species and everything. I think I'm always going to be focused around snakes. I think bringing in the lizards and the other stuff, if I do, it would only be as like a little pet scenario, maybe one or two of them, not a full on breeding. Project.
Yeah. And that's where I'm at, man. I've had leg things, and I like the chameleons cause they're like, it's a planted and I've got to take care of the plants in there. So there's like, it's more than just the chameleons. I have a pet tank as well, you know, and I got to take care of it and stuff. So it's fun.
Totally. Well, all right, man. You know, we always try and keep these ones kind of wrap it up a bit. Like, but just to remind everybody, next week it will be Wednesday again, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We're going to have Jay Greenline Morphs on as our guest. Can't wait to really go through that show. Have him introduce himself to you, and hopefully he'll speak better than I am right now next week. And that way Shane can enjoy his vacation. So family's coming into town. You guys should have a good time. You guys do anything fun for your vacation?
Yeah, we're going to go tubing up in Townsend. That's something I do every time my daughter's out here. And then there's this, man, it's some kind of whatever quarry, but it's a swimming place with some cliffs. It looks like the quarry out of Stranger Things where they found
where my mind was going. Good job.
Yeah, it looks like that too. And I'm like, oh yeah, I got to take her there, you know? So we're going to do that. Right. And yeah, man. So
that's just cool.
Yeah. Just hanging out with my daughter. She graduates high school this Friday. She flies out on Monday, and then she'll start college in Arizona, you know, when the semester starts and all that. So this awesome. Is my last visitation with my high school kid, you know, before I see her the next time, and she's more of an adult, you know.
Be in college. Yeah. Well, congratulations, man. Thank you. Your daughter for graduating, for you guys. Yeah. And have fun. Look forward to hearing about the stories there. So,
yeah. Hey, one thing, when you have Jay on,
yeah,
he should talk about his job description here, because we don't describe it well.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm really looking forward to having him on, because he's the intelligent one out of the three of us. So he'll be able to let you guys know what he does, what we do. It'll be great. Definitely. And I'm excited to talk about projects, too, because I know, like, his technical skills are, you know, like you said, wizardly, but he's also got some really cool projects. So I can't wait to talk reptiles and all the fun stuff. So,
yeah, man.
All right. Well, everybody, I don't want to keep it too. Oh, what's up? What's up?
Everyone, if you go over to the audio platforms, Spotify or the Apple ones, leave us a review. That helps boost us in the algorithms over there. Leave a cool, funny review. We'll give you a shout out over here on the YouTube show.
Yeah, great. Good job, Shane. You know, we are trying to get better at doing stuff like that. A little self-promotion goes a long way. So, yeah, that's right. It's a reminder. We are all on all of the major ones, right? Like iTunes, Spotify, iHeart.
iHeart, Deezer, Dozer, Pandora, like all the ones I didn't even think were around anymore. Like, they still are around and we're there.
Right. And of course, Jay Hendo is trying to start up a new combo at the very end. I love Campfire Puzzle Project. Enough said. I agree. Next week, we will talk about something around that, because I've got some plans on something very close to the Campfire Puzzle Project. Thank you, Jay, for that. And everybody else, thanks again for tuning in. Do appreciate it. We will catch you guys next week. Y'all have a good night. Thanks.